Thank you so much. Thank you, Maisha, for that reading. Again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am also abstinent by His grace. And I wanted to do a commentary on that reading on day 22. The reading comes from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, and I'll read the verse again. It says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." And this reading is taken from the part of the Bible which is called from the prophetic books in the Bible. The Bible is kind of divided into sections. You have at the beginning, you have historical books where they give the history of the world and also the history of the Hebrew people. And then you have a poetic section where a lot of times you hear people quote from Psalms and Proverbs and the Song of Solomon, those types of things. Those are the poetic. And then after that, you have a section called prophecy, where the prophets were God's mouthpiece. You have to keep in mind that they didn't have much of the written word as we have today. And so they couldn't go and look in the Bible and find out what God told them. They had to rely on men that God had set aside to do that. And so you had your section of prophecy. And then, of course, you go into the New Testament where we have the story of the Lord, the story of Jesus, the Messiah, told in four different ways with four different audiences. And then you have the story on the history of the church where you have the book of Acts and that. And you also have letters that were written to the early church. And the final part of the Bible, you have a book of prophecy in the New Testament, the only book of prophecy in the New Testament, which is Revelation, which tells us what's going to happen at the end of the world. And so, but in this section, in the Old Testament prophet, we have Habakkuk, which he's considered what is called a minor prophet, just that his writing is not that big, where, you know, you have the major, one of the major prophets, of course, is one that we studied on Saturday, we're still studying, is the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is considered a major prophet because his writing is so extensive. But this writing from Habakkuk has a lot of meaning for me because it teaches me to trust in God no matter what. I like it that Habakkuk, he felt comfortable with God. He felt comfortable enough with God to actually question him honestly. In that way, he was a lot like David. Whenever you read the Psalms, you can read at different times where David just, I mean, he's essentially this saying, God, you know, why is this happening? Why aren't you doing something, you know? And the same thing was happening in this book of Habakkuk. What was happening is that the leaders in Judah, and remember from Isaiah, when we were reading Isaiah, that there was, at one time, there was one kingdom of Hebrews or Israel, you know, the promised people. They were all one, as they should be. But over time, they had infighting, and they eventually separated into two different kingdoms. You had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom just started off bad, and they ended up so bad that eventually the Lord had to take care of them and put them into exile. And then it only left the southern kingdom. But then the southern kingdom was starting to do the same thing. And you remember when we read Isaiah, how he was trying to raise their consciousness to help them to understand that they shouldn't keep up with this type of behavior. And Habakkuk is also wondering in this reading, and at some point you might want to read it. It's a very short book, and so you can actually do it, you know, very easily. And what he says, he's saying, you know, why aren't you doing anything, Lord? Look at what these people are doing. Look at what these leaders are doing. How come you're not doing anything to what is happening? And if you read the first chapter in Habakkuk, you'll see that he's questioning God. He wants to know why God is not stepping in. But the way that he questions, though, is that he's not questioning, you know, out of bitterness and not wanting to listen. He is actually caring. It's not like, you know, someone who is bitter and mad at God and they want to spout off, you know, they want to vent, but they don't want to listen to the Lord and what he's saying to him. And that's not what Habakkuk is doing. He is actually asking the Lord, what is it that is going on? And the Lord answers him. He tells him, you know, what is going on, and his answer is not always to the liking. I mean, in fact, that's how God is. You know, if I want to know answers, I need to go into the Word of God. You know, and if I go into the Word of God, it's not always the answer I want to hear. And of course, in this book, this answer was not necessarily the answer that Habakkuk wanted to hear either, because the answer he heard is that, yeah, and these people aren't going to get it, you know, because he was in that kingdom too, you know. And they were going to get it, and they were going to get punished by a real horrible land, Babylon. And but the Lord also told them that eventually Babylon would also get it for, you know, Babylon was going to be used, but Babylon was also going to be destroyed. And one of the things that I learned from Habakkuk is the lesson that God is in control despite my circumstances, despite what it looks like on the outside. God is in control. And God works on his time and not on my time. And also I need to remember that the righteous will always prevail. That goes in and out and in and out of the Bible. Over and over again, you know, it says, you know, in the New Testament, do not grow weary in doing good, because in due time, you know, you will reap a harvest if you don't lose heart. So that whole thing for me is to trust in the Lord. And the best way that I trust in the Lord is that I don't eat no matter what. I don't eat no matter what, by God's grace, and to know that he will always provide the grace for me to stay abstinent today, regardless of the circumstances. He will always provide that grace, and I can rely on that because I know that for me to eat, it's like serving a false idol. It's worshiping, you know, at the temple of some false god. And I, by God's grace, I will not do that today because he has shown me how wrong that is and how it hurts him. That for me to overeat today is sinful. It's no other name for it. It hurts my God. It hurts God who loves me so much. And he has put it in the forefront of my thinking. It used to be that understanding that, you know, my overeating hurt God used to be in the back of my mind. You know, I didn't really think about it. But he has put it right in the front. And I'm grateful because it helps that it's not a struggle anymore. I hardly get to the point where I'm tempted by the food, you know, because he has put that understanding. He has given me the understanding of what is going on with the food. And I'm finding that he will give me understanding about other aspects of life as I do about life as I did with the food. And that is that as I do with life, to take my suffering and still express my joy. To not let hard times or suffering get in the way of me being joyful and giving to the Lord. I love it that he continues to show that to me. I was thinking about that yesterday. A few of you know that I've been sharing that I've been asking for prayers for one of my children that feeling that I see some backsliding in that, and since they live in my household and they're an adult, it's hard to give feedback all the time in the way that God wants me to give it. He wants me to speak the truth in love. Sometimes because of my fear, I speak the truth in anger, in bitterness, and when I speak in that way, it's not heard, you know. And so I have had to learn again, and I had one of those instances yesterday where I had to speak to this particular child, and the way that I spoke, it was like, whoa, this is, I later on, the Lord actually convicted me. And I'm grateful because the Lord shows me that, you know, I don't have to live in my craziness. I can admit to Him, especially, Lord, I'm sorry that I blew it again in the way that I spoke what was going on with me. You know, please help me not to do that. But I also find that when I go to Him in that way, He also shows me a way out. He shows me how to amend my behavior. I can actually go to that person, which I did. I went to my child, and I went to them, and I said to them, look, I am sorry for the way that I spoke to you. And I said that I realize now that I spoke out of fear, you know, that I really love you. I don't want you to, don't want to see you back into the destruction that you came from, you know. And that helped, you know. And God works that way in me. He helps me to see His truth so that I can work in a loving way and not in fear. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And so what I need to be about is about perfect love. It's about really pressing into Jesus because He is the epitome of perfect love. I press into Him. I move closer and closer to Him so that I can become more like Him. And I can interact or relate to people more from love than from anything else. Love will make those changes that will bring about that peace. Peace in the hearts of people as they come to know Jesus, you know, and peace in our environment as we become more peaceful people. I'm just going to say a few words about the reading. It says, trusting God through hard times. And that first paragraph, it talks about my history with the food. I always ate. That was what I used to do. I used to eat. And when things got bad, especially, I felt justified in my eating and mad. You know, that was the way I got angry. I very rarely would express my anger outward, except to people who I felt I could get away with it, like people in the grocery lines or I used to be, you know, I can be very nice in a work situation, but, you know, put me in a grocery line with this checker, you know, or, you know, fighting about something like that, and that was, you know, I can lose my craziness. And also, you know, with people on the phone, oh my goodness, you know, telemarketers, they were my target, you know. And the Lord shows me day by day, no way, you know, you do not, you know, you cannot pull out that kind of behavior anywhere if you are my ambassador. If you're an ambassador to the Lord, you know, you might be the only Bible that the Lord, you know, that people read. That's what the Lord says to me. And so, But I did eat all the time. You know, that was the way I had my tantrums by eating. And when I was getting abstinent physically, I'm grateful for people who showed me that I did not have to eat, that I could actually ride through the feelings without eating, that it would, feelings definitely change. And so I learned that in the eating. And I'm learning it in the same way too about my fears and the other things that could take me away from that strong trust in the Lord. That when there's hard times, what I need to do is to rely on truth. And the truth is the Word of God, and that's why it's so important for me to put the Word of God in my heart, to actually hide it in my heart for the times when I am just being battered by the voices, as I call it, when it's throwing so many punches, like they have to be, you know, the voices have the machine guns out, and they're coming, you know, with rapid fire, that I truly must have the Word of God ready and for me. But I am going to stop there. I'm going to ask Maisha if she could give us some words on this reading. Maisha?